pastor here, and on behalf of all of our pastors and our staff and the whole congregation, we want to extend a warm welcome and greeting to each and every one of you in the name of the risen Christ. It is certainly our privilege to have you here in the sanctuary. It's also a great gift to have so many who are joining us week by week through our live stream. And whether you're here with us in person or joining us for worship through live stream this morning, we welcome you. We're so glad that you're here. We pray that this time of worship will bless you and strengthen you for your journey this week and in the days to come. Our mission here at Foundry is to love God, to love each other, and to change the world. Your presence with us gives us strength and encouragement as we go about that work. We want you to know that no matter where you come from today, and no matter where you go when you leave this place, no matter what you believe or doubt, no matter what you feel or don't feel, and no matter whom you love, you are welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God who knows you by name, who loves you, who wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. It is in that spirit of love and welcome that we extend our greeting as Foundry Church to each and every one of you. Let us begin our time of worship today, standing together as we're able to sing our opening hymn.
Just try that, and then we're done.
Come on.
Hi, little friend, how are you? All right. Shay's got to transition again. How's everybody doing? Who knows a symbol for love? What is it? A heart. Can you show me with hands? It's really hard. Yeah, open up just a little bit. Just a little more. Yes. There you go. You got it. That's pretty awesome. Oh, Amy, can you do it? You're trying really hard? Okay, that's really good. That's good. Yes. A rainbow flag is a symbol of love.
Thank you. afternoon at 5 p.m., I invite you to join Pastor Ginger at National City Christian Church for a conversation and a United for Marriage Equality Multi-Faith Prayer Service. It's a great witness for us to be a congregation that believes in marriage equality, that believes in love for all, and so join us at 5 p.m. today at National City as we have a multi-faith prayer service. This Tuesday, April 28th, our board will be together for a special charge conference to talk about staff salary adjustment, so please be in prayer about that. And next Sunday, May 3rd, our former senior pastor, Phil Waldman, will join us to talk about his experience in Selma, Alabama, and for us to continue to be a congregation that opts in. Issues of race and social justice are definite issues of faith. And so Pastor Waldman will come and lead us in a conversation about Selma and how we continue to opt in. We are now preparing for a time of prayer. And Pastor Ginger will lead us in prayer number 6 on our prayer card. The choir will sing. But as we prepare to pray, there are many, many things happening around this country, around this nation, around the world for us to pray for. There are things happening right outside our church today for us to pray for. The one thing that I love about being here at Family United Methodist Church is that our children will never not know a church that didn't believe in love. Our children will never not know a church that was not equal and had people of different races. Our children will never not know a time when they had a female pastor in their church. Our children will never not know a time when they did not experience Christian community. So as we engage in a time of prayer, I pray that we pray for one another, that we pray for this world, that we pray that God's love overwhelms us all, that we will radically act in ways that not only change this congregation, but that will change the world literally. We pray for families that have lost children. We pray for our LGBTQ members that have been treated and serving them that are away. And we ask you to pray for our youth as they go forward in missions and as they prepare for confirmation. And we pray for the family of Mr. Brian T. Gray. Mr. Gray and his wife have been with us here for 49 years. Mr. Gray passed away at the age of 93. There's a lot of things to pray for, my friends. The altar rails are open. We have nice, cushy, kneeling rails coming up. Come and pray. Pray for the person sitting next to you. Even if you do not know what they are, we need a lot of prayer. Pray for this United Methodist Church that we will learn to extend God's love deep and wide and that our doors will be open really, really wide. Let's prepare our lives. Amen.
loving and more just your love is beyond its corner. More powerful, more full, more open, more welcoming than anything that our feeble minds can imagine. We give you thanks, one God, that even when our love fails, your love remains for us steadfast. We give you thanks, O God, that your love comes to us and seeks us out and draws us out of every dark place and shadow and brokenness to live more fully in your light, in your hope, in your truth, and in your love. This day we gather as a people humble and grateful in the midst of your love. And we pray for a world that is lovely and beautiful. Gracious God, for the family of Freddie Gray, we pray this day. We pray for the people of Baltimore. And we pray for communities throughout this land that experience these moments of violence and grief and loss in ways that are ripping communities apart. We pray, O God, for healing. We pray both for those who are harmed and those who grieve, and we pray for those who perpetrate violence. As you do harm, O God, for you have called us to the hard work of love that tells us to bless those who persecute us. So, God, today we pray blessing upon those who do harm. We pray for those who are hurt by words and actions of judgment and exclusion. And we pray for this church and for the United Methodist Church and for a Christian witness everywhere that might one day truly reveal your love for all the whole of the nation. We pray, O God, this day in a special way for the members of the body here in our nation that will be deliberating legislation this very week that will impact so many lives for marriage equality. We pray for our Supreme Court and for all of those who will be advocating and speaking and putting themselves on the line for the sake of justice. May we stand with them in prayer and in need. We pray, O God, for the great loss of life and the suffering that's happening around the world in the midst of war and natural disaster. And especially, O God, for sisters and brothers in Nepal and the some communities and countries surrounding that place. Bring your healing power, O God, into this time of chaos and destruction and deep grief. Gracious God, we do continue to pray that your Holy Spirit would pour out upon us here at the Boundary, that as we continue the conversation about the vision and the mission that you have given us, even today, that you would help us stand strong in the face of challenge, and to know what you have us to do, O God. Give us not only the vision that we will to be. We pray all of these things, trusting in your great love, and in the power of your love, our own, we pray in the name of Jesus, the one who came and showed us your love, who showed us your life, and who taught us to pray the same. Our Father and Mother, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading today is 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Let us listen for the word of God. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has a world of goods and sees a brother or sister in need, and yet children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God. And we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Part of endurance doesn't even know where it begins. But we'll stop with prayer. God, we are grateful for this, your church. The church that flows with love. We pray now that you would speak to us afresh and anew. In particular, God, I pray that you would decrease in love and increase your spirit. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in our sight. For it is in the name of God, for it is in Christ we pray. So prior to the coming and getting ready for the 11 o'clock service, I ran to use the bathroom and it wasn't working. Then I went outside and that wasn't working. Then forgetting, I came back inside and got my robe on and went to use the bathroom. It wasn't working, so I just went right back outside. Oh, what a joyous day. I'm going to get to that in a moment, friends. 43 years ago, in a small church in a southern region, an energetic woman who had helped to start a civil rights law firm decided that she wanted to teach a confirmation class. She was a school teacher before, and she just wanted to employ those particular skills in the church. That would be a long start, that would be a start of a long journey of working with and teaching those classes. She has taught several second generations. Last week, this now 75-year-old church mother and the congregation witnessed the confirmation of six vibrant young people, including her second grandchild. They also witnessed the congregation's first third-generation confirmation experience. She has taught the grandfather, the son, and now the grandson. This is her gift of love. Perhaps the first thought that crosses our mind about love is the feelings and emotions we experience. For many of us, a song that we hear on the radio or something that we have downloaded on our mobile phones will trigger an emotion. And sometimes it's unexpected. Just think for a few moments about one or maybe two love songs that can really get you going. Just think. Be appropriate, Pastor Teresa. I hear you. I know we have at least one. Then I got to thinking, and then I asked a friend of mine, what do you think are some of the greatest or saddest love songs? So I did a little internet search and came up with a few. Roberta Flack's recording of Killing Me Softly. Oh yeah, right? So we all remember that. I've got a couple stories to share, maybe outside of this thing. Anne Murray's You Needed Me. Share all my love with you. Why? No one else will do.
for the softness and sweetness in being vain and loving connections. It's human nature to feel this way. It's a good thing. There must come a time, though, that expressions of love move beyond warm feelings to authentic action. As John wrote in the first letter, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and in action. That church mother shows love decade after decade in volunteering her time, harnessing and even spending her own resources to work and teach children. Recently, I asked her, why do you continue to teach confirmation after all these years? And she talked about how a person in her home church some 65 years ago or so taught a similar class and how that made a lasting impression on her. And then she recalled the words of Holy Scripture as recorded in the Synoptic Gospels. Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these. In this context, this lifelong civil rights activist believes nurturing children in the faith is her calling. This is one of the ways she extends love in truth and action. As we are in this season of Eastertide, the fifth Sunday in Easter, I believe love is the core. It's the essence of resurrection. Jesus lived, Jesus died, and Jesus rose in love that was gifted to us by God. God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son. This, my friend, is God's desire. In his book, The Magnificent Defeat, Frederick Buechner writes, we are children perhaps at the very moment when we know that it is as children that God loves us. Not because we have deserved God's love, not in spite of our undeserving, not because we try, and not because we recognize the futility of our trying, but simply because he has chosen to love us. I believe how we show love to others is a reflection of how we truly value love. Love is an expression that flows from the core of who we are and whose we are. I think the description of love as ascribed to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 is the embodiment of love. We know this text, don't we? We hear it all the time here. And ways. Yes, it rings. Which is fine. It's fine. It illustrates how to establish community, and in order to build a strong community and a faithful community, it takes love. Listen to these words again. Love is patient and kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, endures all things, and hopes all things. Love never ends. There is no end time to love. So again, I say, how we show love to others is a reflection of how we value love. Now, what I really wanted to say here is how we show love to others is a reflection of how we honor God and how we love God. But I thought that might be a bit too provocative, and since I tend, Pastor Jenny, to shy away from provocative situations, as evidenced a little bit earlier, not them, right? Listen to this. When 14.7 million children in America are in poverty, and even now, 1 in 5 children have a chance of being poor, and the younger the child is, the poorer the child is likely to be, I wonder what definition of love these young sisters and brothers will come to know. Child poverty is a sin.
not only in this country, one of the wealthiest in the entire universe. Friends, we should fix this. What's holding us back? If it were our children, we would want to act a little bit more swiftly. Well, guess what? They are our children. When one-fifth of D.C. residents live in poverty, and on any given night, there are more than 7,500 homeless individuals, I wonder what definition of love these neighbors will come to know. If it were us living on the streets, would we act more swiftly? We know that LGBTQ people continue to be discriminated in the full life of the church. Now we know this, because we're fighting for this. And let me just pause and say something here now. We know we're doing something right when we have people lined up across the streets. Amen? North Carolina. not limit what God can do in and through us. If we would open ourselves, we will know that there are no bounds to God's love. God's love is not stagnant. God's love is not bound up. God's love cannot be restrained or retracted. God's love cannot be concealed or contained. Throughout human history, there is evidence after evidence after evidence of God's amazing love moving and flowing and being unleashed to encompass the fullness of God's people. God's love unbound liberates. There are many opportunities for us to show love. We just showed it right out there. Wherever you are employed or volunteering or serving, whatever your calling is in your chosen profession, whenever you encounter folks in your daily journey, you can extend love in truth and in action. Now, I want to say a word about holy conversation taking place here today at 12:30. This conversation is a continuation of house meetings that Pastor Ginger had earlier. Board and staff retreat, planning sessions, congregational surveys, and more. We are listening, friends, and we are willing to open ourselves up to what God is going to do through us. We need you to be a part of this conversation. Staff and members of the management board and other key leaders have been fashioning this gathering. It's time for us to talk and to listen and learn together about the emerging vision, the future board process, engaging and building stronger ministry teams. This collaborative work will help us extend love and truth in action. Now, I know that there are some people here that are just unable to participate for a variety of reasons. But for most of us, friends, we can be a part of this thing. We really can. It takes commitment, yes. It takes time, yes. But if we're not going to be the ones that are going to help be the light and the beacon in this community, we can't ask someone else to do what we're not willing to do. I know this is really a hard thing and a hard word, but my friends, I'm so convicted by this, particularly after all of the long struggles that we've been through together. We can change things. With so many of life's events that are happening all around us, I know that some people think it's a moot point. We can't do anything about it, really. That's not the truth. I want to remind those of us that were here a couple of weeks ago when Reverend Dr. Ianna Mills, senior pastor of our sister congregation, Asbury, was here. She had calculated the number of churches and people, and this was just in the United Methodist churches, that could come and join together and make 6 million meals for Stop Hunger Now. She also calculated that there are enough faithful people in all the religions that could come together and form a human unbroken chain across K Street and in Chinatown to shut down human trafficking. I want to make it personal. I know we can do more. If there were our young people that were caught up in human trafficking, would we not be there already? We have more than enough resources in this district, people and expertise, and yes, funding, to come alongside other organizations to do our part in combating the injustices of chronic homelessness, of child poverty, LGBTQ discrimination, and just devaluing life. Everybody is of sacred worth. We can and must make a big difference. My friends, we are an Easter people. An Easter people. When I look at you, I see Easter. I see Jesus' resurrection in all of you. We have said that our calling in this place is to love God, to love each other, and to change the world.
response to God's grace and love for us, we are invited to give. Our ushers will now come and receive what you can share with us. Let us be generous, for through our gifts, lives are changed.
Thank you.
for today. So if you'd like to join out front as you're leaving for a few moments, that would be great before you.